Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. Well, this is John Matarazzo with Charisma News, and I am excited today to talk with Bob Lodick, the author of Simple Money, Rich Life. He actually also has a podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, and he is bringing biblical perspectives to money. And we often hear that money is the root of all evil, but it's not true. The love of money is the root of all evil, and God tells us to be good stewards with what he's given us. And so Bob is going to be sharing some principles that he's learned, that he's been able to apply to not just have a good life financially, but he's able to give, he's able to bless others, and to really help people be able to live a life where they can earn all they can, save all they can, bless all they can. I think I'm screwing this up. Bob, can you help me with this here? What is that phrase that you use, and what is that quote?
Yeah, so it comes from John Wesley, and he said, simplifying it, basically, I earn as much as I can, and I save as much as I can. And by save, he means like reduce expenses. And so that, do both of those things, so that I can give as much as I can.
Yeah. So there's a purpose for the finances and the blessings that God has given us. And it's not just for us to create bigger and better barns, right?
Yeah. It's not just to buy 15 Gucci bags. And it's like, I'm not opposed to having a Gucci bag, but at the end of the day, like when we think eternally, when we think a big picture scope, I think we're going to look back and wish we would have given more. We would have seen that. I mean, because the Bible talks about one of the ways, there's multiple ways to store up treasures in heaven, but one of them is by giving. And I don't understand, like, we don't have all the detail to fully understand what that means, but I'm so fascinated by that. And author Randy Alcorn has this quote that I love so much, where he says that the greatest deterrent to giving is the illusion that earth is our home. And I think when we get that, when we let that sink in, it's like all of a sudden giving just becomes a little bit more interesting, you know?
Yeah. So, Bob, I want to hear your story. I mean, I know you tell it in the introduction of the book, and you tell it in such a great way that I feel like I'm right there. Now, obviously, I'm living in Florida, so I can kind of relate to the area a little bit more. But would you just kind of give an overview of that story and how God has how God got a hold of you financially?
Yeah. So I teach people about money for a living right now. And so a lot of times people just think, oh, well, you've just always had this figured out and you were born that way and whatever. And I was not. I was the opposite. I was born a complete mess financially. And that's kind of where this story picks up. Basically, I'm 20 years old. It's the day before my 21st birthday. And I was living what felt like the Instagrammer's dream, because I was in a beach town in Florida. I had a little apartment near the beach, and I would go to the beach every single day. I had a convertible. And this particular day, it was Friday. I was just getting paid. My friends were flying down the next day to come visit me for my 21st birthday. Like, everything was going great. And as I'm driving, just pick up my paycheck, and I'm driving to the bank to deposit it. And on my way, right as I'm passing this minor league ballpark, just like that, my car just like stops in the middle of the road, just like engine stops running.
Wow.
So fast. I don't even have time to pull over to the side. And I'm not a car guy. I don't know that much about cars. And so it's like, I'm stopped in the middle of the road. Everybody's driving by gawking, like staring at me, you know, all that thing. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out what's going on with this car, turning the key 15 times. Maybe it'll start. Maybe it'll start. It's like, nope, it's not going to start. So then I hop out, and again, cars are driving all by me. And so I'm like, I need to get the car off out of the middle of the road. And so I grab the wheel and push the door, like that whole thing. If you've ever tried it, it's not very easy.
No, it's not.
So I finally end up getting this car kind of pulled over to the side, and I sit inside, and I start to like have the realization of what's about to unfold. And the problem that I was discovering in that moment is this paycheck that I was taking over to the bank to deposit, I had to then pay my rent that was due that day. And the problem was my rent, if I didn't pay it that day, they were going to tack on a $50 late fee. And my paycheck was so small at that time. This is a whole nother problem that we can get into at some point, but my paycheck was so small, I didn't have enough to cover that late fee if I was going to be late on it. I had $7 in my bank account. I had one credit card that was nearly maxed out. And so I'm sitting there like trying to figure out, how am I going to get this car towed, repaired? And then get over to the bank to deposit this check so that I can go pay my landlord and do all this in the next 3 hours. Mm. Like, how is this ever going to work out? And it was in that moment that it finally started to dawn on me that I was actually a financial mess. And I had just been kind of hiding it, because I think a lot of times we can hide our messes. And I had been doing a good job of hiding it. And this was kind of that moment where, you know, it's like a house of cards and there's just a little gust of wind. It's all of a sudden everything's kind of crumbling down. And so as I sat in that car, like, I remember gripping the steering wheel as everybody's driving by and like tears are like starting to well up in my eyes. And I'm like, God, I need help. Like, I'm a mess, you know? And it was a humbling thing for me because I had worked at a bank and all my friends thought I knew about money because I worked at a bank. And it's like, I knew a little bit about, you know, how to, you know, move it through your hands real quick, but I didn't know how to manage money. And so in that moment, you know, with those tears in my eyes, I cried out to God and I'm like, my way has not worked here. And if you have a better way, if you have a better plan, like, I want to hear it. Like, God, I want to hear what it is that you have to say about money and how I can get out of this mess. Like, help. You know, that was my prayer.
Wow. So how did you get out of that mess? I mean, obviously you still had a vehicle that needed a repair. You still had to get to the bank, like all this stuff that needed to happen. What actually happened there? How did you get out of that situation? Because I feel like you just realized that this is, you know, you just admitted to God, which is really the first step, that you need help. How did he help you get out of that first issue?
So that specific thing, and this is what's so interesting. I think, I feel like I've seen this in my life multiple times where coming to that point of humbling myself and asking God specifically for help, like, seems to unlock something. And anyway, in this particular case, like, it was amazing, like the miracle that unfolded over the next few hours, because that's exactly what happened. So I had $230 or $240 of available credit on my credit card before it was going to be completely maxed out. And again, $7 in my bank account. And somehow, I ended up getting that car towed to this, you know, hole in the wall mechanic shop, with this really grumpy old mechanic. And then he ended up fixing it for less than $200. And I was able to get over to the bank, deposit the thing, and then like get back just in time to make that rent payment right before they closed the doors. Like, the whole thing just kind of worked out. Mm. And then I had like just enough gas to get up to the airport to pick up my friends, you know, from the airport the next day. And, you know, after that, the next week or two, I think I was just eating mac and cheese, but but the whole thing worked out. And, you know, and God, you know, did, he took care of it. And then from there, I think that the deeper, more important thing was he began to show me, you know, how to change this lifestyle and how to get out of a rhythm like this. You know what I mean? Cause so many of us find ourselves in situations like that. I'm sure there's people listening who's, this is like an everyday thing for them. And I think a lot of people don't know that it doesn't have to be that way. Like, God has a better plan. And that's what I'm always encouraging people to.
Yeah. So you made it through that day, which, thank God for that, because who knows what would have happened. But the most important thing was you had that realization and you cried out to God that, God, I need help. I'm a mess. And I think, you know, that's just like our salvation, you know, our repentance. We're realizing, we're crying out to Jesus. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. But I think sometimes we stop there and we don't look at God beyond just the salvation of our souls, but he wants to save every single part of our life. And one of the things that does touch every single part of our life is money. It's finances. And you're either a slave to it or you can be the master of it as well. So what was the next part of your journey and how you started to become somebody that you've now been able to give hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars away because you've set that goal? Like, take me on your journey. I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways we can go in this, because obviously a lot happened, you know, over the last 15 years and where God has gone with it. Practically, one of the first things I did, it's amazing how your mindset shift like impacts so much of your life. And so for me, the simple shift of going from, because prior to this moment, like, if you would have asked me, are you good with money? I would have said, oh yeah, I work at a bank, man. I'm really good with money. Like I would have done it and I would have had it with so much arrogance. And after that moment, like, it was a humbling moment for me. And in that humility, let me say it this way. I don't know that you can learn unless you are actually humble about a specific thing.
Wow.
And so in my case, like, I had to humble myself in order to be ready to learn. And so once I did, and once I humbled myself, then I was like open to the idea of not knowing everything and being able to learn. And so from that point, once I realized that, it's like I started reading every book I could about money and everything I get my hands on, every magazine, whatever. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, there's so much I don't know. There's so much more that I thought I knew everything and I don't. And then I started, you know, reading the Bible. And it's like, well, the Bible talks about money. Like, this was mind blowing to me, you know? And the Bible talks about money a whole lot. And you read through Proverbs, there's so much like practical wisdom tied up in there. And anyway, so the combination of these two things just like sent me down this path of being a sponge and trying to absorb as much as I could. And, you know, and the reality is a lot of it is common sense. It's not necessarily like this super high level advanced finance degree stuff. A lot of these things are really, really simple, but we also aren't taught them growing up. You know what I mean? Like we're not taught them in school. Oh, yeah. So many of our parents don't talk to us about money or don't talk to the kids about money because they feel awkward. They feel like they're not qualified or whatever. So it's this really tricky situation where so many of us just grow up and we don't really know what to do and how to do money and the adult, you know, and do it right. So
yeah, anyway, we learn more about algebra than balancing a checkbook.
I know. It's crazy. And so, anyway, all that to say, like that was kind of the first like practical thing, just like, admitting I didn't know what I didn't know and being willing to learn, you know? Yeah. And then from there, we can talk about the giving journey a little bit, but I would say that such a big part of what we've been able to give away, which for us has just been a really big goal. Like I remember dating my wife, Linda, not too long after that broken down car thing. And us sitting in the car, like being so broke, having tiny salaries and just dreaming about being able to give away millions of dollars. It was just something God had placed in our heart and a desire in us. And on this journey that we've gone, like it's just so many times he's required us to give first, you know?
Wow.
Because I think oftentimes we just want to wait until we make a bunch of money, or once I have more money, then I'll give more. And if I, for God, he just keeps drawing us to, if you want to be responsible for more, you know, a la Parable of the Talents, Matthew 25. If you want to be managing more, like I want you to steward well what you have. And part of that involves giving, you know, because that's something that's really high priority to God, I believe. And so that's what he's stretched us in so many different instances over the years, is encouraged us to increase our giving. And as we did, it was like, whoa, we found we have more to manage. And that's interesting. And that's, you know, and so we've just seen that pattern, that cycle over and over again. So I would encourage anyone listening, you know, to continue to work that giving muscle, continue to stretch yourself in that area. Because again, from an eternal perspective, I don't think you will ever regret it. You know, even on earth, you're not going to regret it. Like Jesus specifically said, we are more blessed when we give than we receive. And so, that's always been an encouragement to me.
Now I know like tithing is something that a lot of Christians are used to doing, but you are, in your book, you talk about this principle of giving your age. And as you get older, each year you're adding another percent. And I love that idea. I love that concept. How did you start with that? And then what are some ways that you've been able to give creatively above the tithe?
Yeah. So that was one of those instances. I mean, I remember we had, you know, paid off all of our credit cards. We had paid off our student loans. We had paid off our cars. Like we had paid off all of our debt except our mortgage, in which I was just dancing around the house all the time. Like it was just amazing. Like going from having all that debt to having it paid off freed up thousands of dollars a month in extra money that we could now put towards our mortgage. And
wow,
it was so great and so fantastic. And we were moving. We were, you know, that mortgage was coming down and down and down. It was great. And I remember going to pray and asking God, like out in this field by my house, God, I want to get this mortgage paid off even faster. Can you help us get this thing paid off faster? And it was one of those moments where I was praying, like I really sensed God's response. And I'm like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, an audible voice, but like I sensed it in my heart. And I felt like he said, if you really want to see me move on your finances, I want you to begin giving your age as a percentage of your income. And I like stood still and looked up. I'm like, what? Where the heck did that come from? Like such a crazy idea. And then I start running the math in my head and I'm like, cause we were given probably 11% at that point. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't even know if we can do this. I don't know if we're going to be able to buy groceries. Like, God, what is this? This is crazy. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. You know, like all the thoughts are running through my head. And then my next thought was, wait a minute, I just came to you asking me to pay off my mortgage faster, and now you're telling me to give all my money away. Like, what's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And so I went back and I talked to Linda and I said, hey, hon, I got this crazy idea. Like, you're not going to believe this, but I kind of think this is what God's leading us to do. And I had no idea what she was going to say, but she got on board right away. And she's like, you know what? If God's asking us to do that, there's probably something really great on the other side of it.
Wow.
And so with that, like, really, like I felt like I had to lay down my dream mm-hmm. of paying off our mortgage, you know, in order to pick up this thing that God was asking us to do. And in doing so, my mortgage payoff plan now like extended out like 7 years. Like it was going to now take like 10 or plus years in order to get our mortgage paid off. But it was, I just knew, I could sense that it was God leading us to do this. And so that month we began giving 31% of our income. And
that quickly, you gave 31% of your income.
We went from 11% to 31% in 1 month.
Wow.
And again, but this is the power of having paid off all that other debt, is that we had a couple thousand dollars of extra money each month, you know, because we weren't paying car payments, we weren't paying student loans anymore, credit cards, any of that stuff. And so the money was there, you know, but it was just now all going and being given away instead of going towards our mortgage. But we started that month giving 31%. And this is what's so amazing, John. Like, and to this day, this is one of the biggest miracles I've ever seen. 10 months later, our mortgage was completely paid off. Like,
wow.
It makes absolutely no sense. Like, it should have taken 10 years, and it was 10 months.
What were some of those miracles that God used to make that happen? Like,
yeah,
as you look back at it, like, just help us have faith for things like that in our own lives.
Like, and I wish I could give you a list of like 50 different things, but it's so crazy because there was just loaves and fishes type stuff where there's just money in accounts where it's like, I don't know why that's there. I thought we drained that account to pay all the bills. Like, I don't know why there's money there. And like money was coming in, like the checks in the mail stuff where it's like, whoa, why is this here? Like one thing after another, our business started like thriving in a way that I had never seen before. Just lots of things just all started happening out of the woodwork over the next 10 months to the point where it's like we were paying bigger and bigger chunks toward that mortgage than we were before. And it just went so fast. Like, you know, and it was one of those moments for me personally where I'm like, all right, I'm convinced, I'm sold. Like, you cannot outgive God. Like, you can compete with him, but like, you're not going to win. Like, it was one of those things because it was, you know, I had to lay down my dream of paying off this mortgage. But it was like he said, as if he's like, you know, well, thank you for doing that. And I'm going to honor you because you laid that thing down. And so it was a mind blowing thing. And still to this day, I'm like, this just crazy, crazy.
Wow. That's so cool, Bob. Thanks for sharing about that, because that's a huge challenge. And I know a lot of people will have this desire to be generous, but they don't know how to be generous. They don't know how to take that first step. And tithing is definitely the first step. You know, make sure that is your first fruits, that, and then go above and beyond as God tells you to. You know, God might not be telling you to give your age.
Yeah.
Check and make sure that that's God. Just because God said that to Bob doesn't mean he's saying it to everybody.
Yes.
Hear the voice of the Lord for yourself. Use your own discernment and let God grow your faith as he's building your faith. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I turn to this all the time, is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Yeah. You know, like I'm looking at the economy today, okay? We've got inflation that's through the roof. We've got recession that's dealing with. War, rumors of wars. We've just come through a pandemic and all this stuff. Like right now, my dollar's not going as far as it did 6 months ago or even 2 years ago. Does the advice change? How do you deal with these things that we're dealing with today in 2022? Yeah. Like, how do you deal with these things? Because the principles, I believe, are the same, but like, how do you apply them?
Yeah. Yeah. So the, of course, God's word is always the same and God's economy is always strong. You know, and I think that's important to remember, because if we find ourselves watching too much of the news cycle or too much social media, it's really easy to let that kind of establish our beliefs about what's happening. But God's economy is always strong, and that's important to remember. And the other thing is that as believers, we have an unfair advantage because I can't imagine not having that confidence in God and not having the promises that he's going to be our provider. You know, in Philippians 4:19, he's going to provide all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Like, I would hate to be living in a world with all the chaos of everything going on right now and not have that promise. But as believers, we do. And so, like, we need to be taking advantage of it. We need to be living in that confidence that he is true and he's faithful. 2 Corinthians 9, he's going to provide an abundance for every good work. Like, and so these are verses that, you know, I have just clung to in some of my moments because, you know, I'm giving you some of the highlights, but we've had plenty of low moments and it's been a roller coaster. We've had ups and downs, you know, and even with us giving our age, like we've had times where it's like, all right, this is really tight. I'm not sure we're going to be able to continue this, you know, and by his grace, we've been able to. But the point is Paul talks about learning the secret of being content in high times and in low times in Philippians 4. And I've always just been so fascinated by that. And I've always like really kind of wanted that. Like, God, I want to be able to be content whether things are going really, really great, you know, and the job's going great and big bonuses are coming in, or whether they're at their lowest. Like, I want to be content in you and be trusting that you're going to be my provider and all those things. But the fact of the matter is the only way you learn how to do that is actually going through the roller coaster and the ups and downs, which no one wants.
So everyone there's no wants. Fast pass for this roller coaster. You just got to get in line and go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. But still no contentment. And so, anyway, so the point of all this, tying back to your question is, yes, we can absolutely trust in him. Yes. The world's crazy. Everything's going on. It's nuts. But God is always faithful and he's always going to be there and the principles still apply and they still work.
Yeah. The principles do apply and they're going to still work, which is great. You know, like being able to turn to the Bible and know that whether it's, you know, 0 AD or, you know, 33 AD or it's, you know, 2033, the principles are going to apply because the word of God is living and active. It's alive today. As alive as it was back then, and even more so because we have the Holy Spirit in living in us, and we're not alone. And we have people like Bob that we can turn to and say, hey, God helped you with this. Help me understand. Help me learn. And in addition to your website and your book, you have a podcast as well called Seed Time Money. Could you just talk a little bit about what are some of the things that you talk about on that podcast and just some of the other resources that you give? I don't want to forget to talk about some of these ways that people can get in touch with you.
Sure. Yeah. So, we named our website and podcast Seed Time, and it comes from Genesis 8:22, where God said there'd be always be four things. And one of those was seed time and harvest. And so I've always been fascinated by that. 2 Corinthians 9 just talks about giving and this idea that, you know, we reap what we sow. And so that's kind of where that whole name comes from. But yeah, we just love sharing about the biblical side of money, but also the super practical stuff. I've always nerded out and geeked out on finding ways to kind of passively create a money system that makes my life easier and, you know, get better results at the same time. And so that's a big part of what we do while encouraging believers to really trust God in the process. Yeah.
And you and your wife do so many of these things together. And I love that you're a team in this. It's not just Bob doing this. Your wife is involved. And I know you're more of a saver and she's more of a spender. Is that correct? How does this work in relationships? Because I'm in a relationship right now and, you know, things are looking really serious and I love where we're heading, but I think I'm more of a saver and she thinks she's more of a spender. And how do we work some of these things out? Because you and your wife have a great dynamic and I love that from your YouTube videos as well.
Yeah. So most people have this situation. You know, it's like occasionally I run into a couple where it's like they're exactly the same about money, but very rarely are they. And so we're no different. And I think that's why Linda is so involved in so much stuff is because a lot of people relate to her in a way they can't relate to me. Because I tend to be more of the spreadsheet nerdier guy, and she is the one, I call her our certified spender of all of our money. Like, she's really good at spending money and loves it. And, you know, and I think the thing that we're always encouraging couples who are different, because that's most of us, is to humbly look for And well, what the difference is between you and a spouse, don't view them as flaws and imperfections in your spouse. Like God put you two together for a reason.
And that's good. That's good.
It wasn't until I realized that her ability to spend money and have fun was actually something I needed. And God placed her in my life for that reason. Like that was a game changer for me. And because I'm someone who I would have squirreled all my money up for retirement and blah, 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 and had $50 million at retirement type of thing. And she has been really good at helping me understand that each day is a gift and that, you know what? I think today we should take the kids out to dinner and go spend money on that. Like, I think that's the best thing that we can do for our family today.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately helped me to live a more balanced and healthy life. And at the same time, I'm in her life to help her keep from spending all of her money in the next 5 minutes, you know? And so it's a good balance, but you have to understand your spouse's strengths and that God probably put them in them for a reason.
Yeah. So I love that in your book, Simple Money, Rich Life, you've got four different parts. You've got the saving, earning, giving, and I love part four, enjoying. And that's kind of what we were just talking about here. You know, sometimes when I look at money management books, it just seems like all these numbers and figures and tables and things that are going to be overwhelming, and it is a joy suck. It's just sucked all the joy out of this. And that's something that it's an important part of your book. And your message is that you can actually enjoy life. You can like you don't have to pinch every single penny as hard as you think you do. So
I mean, and that was the goal of the book. To be honest with you, we wanted to write a book that people who would never read a money book would enjoy. And we've since had people come back to us and say this was a beach read, you know. And so, which is such a compliment to us, because that was the goal all along. Like, how do we share some of these principles to the people who don't read 15 money books? Like, how do we just boil it down? Because I've read 100 money books. I'm that guy. That's fine. But how do Linda and I create something? Because Linda wrote 10% of the book. Her name should be on the cover. But anyway, how do we create something to reach all the people who don't want to read a money book and to make it actually not torturous for them and something they might enjoy? And so, part of that is, I think, just being honest about it, not throwing all the guilt and shame and making you feel bad about your mistakes and making you feel bad that whatever, you're not Dave Ramsey or something, you know. But part of this equation that I think not enough people talk about is the enjoyment equation. Like, it's okay to enjoy spending some money. It's okay to spend money without feeling guilty about it. It's okay. Like, you don't have to give everything away. Like, and we give a lot away, but you don't have to give everything away. Like, you can enjoy life, you know. Anyway, and so we just think that's an important part to talk about. And so, yeah, we do cover a good bit of that in the book because I think more people need to hear that. They don't need to be beat over the head when you did all this wrong with your money, you know, like nonstop, you know?
Right. Yeah, I the more I'm learning about you through your book, through your website, through your podcast, and through your YouTube channel, which is great. And I see behind you, you've got your plaque from YouTube congratulating you on so many subscribers. Congratulations on that. That's a lot of work that you've put in. I mean, your YouTube channel is like 12 years old or something that I figured out. Yeah. Like, you've been at this a long time, and you are, I pray that you really do reap a lot of the rewards from the effort that you've put into this. I do want to encourage people to go to Bob's website, seedtime.com, and you can get a copy of the book there, Simple Money, Rich Life. And I'm enjoying going through it. There's a lot of things I want to go through deeper, more than just a quick scan to figure out what questions to talk to Bob about. But like, there's some very, very practical things that I'm excited about. And it's something that I want to apply to my life, not just have another book that's taking up space on my shelf. This is very practical for me. And I know it'll be practical for you too. And so, Bob, as we're wrapping up here, would you pray for our listening audience, just a blessing upon them, and then just wisdom for finances and how to take that first step and however else the Lord wants you to lead?
Sure. Yeah, God, we just thank you for anyone listening right now. And I pray that you would just move on their hearts, move on their financial situation. I pray that you open them up to be willing and ready to learn and take whatever direction you have for them, Father. For some people that might be giving more, for some people that might be sitting down with their spouse and having a difficult conversation. For some people that might be making a plan to get out of debt or deciding today to pay off the credit cards or whatever the thing might be, God, but I just pray that you would lead them and direct them on what those specific things are And I pray that they would begin to see themselves as managers and not owners of what's in their bank account. Because ultimately, everything is yours, Lord. Everything is yours. And we are just managers who you've entrusted it to. And I pray that, you know, myself included, all of us, we just continue to become better and better stewards and managers of what you've entrusted us with. And we do it all in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bob Loddick, thank you so much for being here on the Charisma News Podcast. Simple Money, Rich Life. Check that out. It's already blessing my life, and I can't wait to put these 21 steps that you've built in there into action, because this is, I'm somebody that I'm not in debt, but I want to grow so that I have, so that I can achieve true financial freedom and design a life of eternal impact, because we want to leave an impact for this world for the kingdom purposes, not just for your own kingdom, but God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And we can do that if we're good stewards with the money that he's given us. Bob, thanks for being on the Charisma Podcast Network as well. It's a pleasure to have you on the team, and it's been a blessing to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you, John. It's been an honor. Thanks for having me.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.